Games in this league are lost more than they're won. It's a note I took last night watching the Chiefs on ESPN. Don't need to say anything further. We begin the last hour from Dayton, Ohio. Programming reminder, UNO and Dayton. Tonight over an 1180 tip-off is just after 6 o'clock Central Time from UD Arena, the home of the First Four. If you've been watching it on TV, and it'll be here through 2022, the place looks small. In person, a lot larger. Really, really cool venue. We'll see what kind of a atmosphere it's like with 13,000 people dressed in Flyer gear rooting against Omaha tonight. Let's welcome in from Husker Online, Robin Washut. Hello, Robin.
What's up, Gary?
Hey, let's start with basketball, because I know you're not asked this very often. It maybe comes up maybe once an hour. Where is the situation with Shamil Stevenson?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question right now, because nobody seems to know the answer. Not Shamil, not Fred Hoiberg, not the coaching staff, or anybody in compliance at Nebraska. It's basically in the NCAA's hands right now, and we'll know an answer when they get around to giving one. So it's a frustrating situation. You know, they're still practicing Shamil, preparing him every day like he's going to play and be eligible at any minute. But right now their hands are tied because until they actually get that official okay, you know, he's regulated to the bench. So, you know, certainly a guy that would help them in a lot of different ways. But right now, you know, he's unavailable until the NCAA says otherwise.
You know, and I can tell you, because Omaha is waiting on a player that transferred from Kansas City, you can't call anybody up at the NCAA and ask.
No.
When you hear about something, they contact you. I think that's one of the other frustrating things in all these waivers that are still outstanding, and we're 3 weeks into the season, and it's not only frustrating, most importantly, for the student-athlete, but also frustrating for the head coach and their program and for his teammates if they're going to move forward or not. It's really, really strange. I think everybody thought that once the season maybe got started, everything would be cleared off the books. You know, they waited until football and everything got cleared off the books, and everybody is still waiting. It's really confusing. Going back to Friday night, the win against South Dakota State, what was different against South Dakota State that was not there against Southern Utah a week earlier?
Well, simply put, and this sounds stupid, but it's the truth, they made shots, and they made them early. They knocked down some tough, you know, not only three-pointers, but some long twos, which are a big no-no in Fred Hoiberg's system, but they went in. And that's the most important part, because seeing shots fall early allowed that team to play with some confidence from the very beginning. And when this team is feeling good about itself, and rolling with some of that swagger, they're really good. The truth is they're a front runner team right now. And when things are going well, they're going to look pretty good. But as we've seen, when those shots aren't falling and some of that adversity hits, that's when they really struggle. So the big difference was that they got out to that hot start and didn't relinquish it. I mean, the lead never got lower than 17 points after they went up by 31 late in the first half. And that was a big problem for them in the first two games, too, was, you know, that lull that allowed teams to creep back from early deficits. Well, Nebraska kept its foot on the gas, and you know, they were able to even fight through a sluggish start to the second half and basically control that game from tip to the final buzzer. So I think that was just the biggest difference, was the level of confidence this team was able to play with, and much of that had to do with seeing some early shots fall that weren't falling in the first two games.
Hey, I missed the memo from the Big Ten or college basketball that Friday nights, college basketball on Friday nights is a popular thing. It seems like that's all Nebraska does is play home games at Friday, and I looked at the Big Ten schedule, and they have another Friday night game. They have a road game at Indiana, and then they have a home game against Rutgers.
Yeah, and I, you know, look at the other side of the coin where they had like maybe two or three weekend games, be Friday night or Saturday. And the rest of them will be playing like on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. or Sunday at 1 o'clock or something like that. So, you know, I'm sure fans, that's a lot easier on people's schedules, especially people coming in from out of town that you know, want to make a night of it or a weekend of it, that Friday night tips are a luxury the team hasn't had in a while. So the Big Ten scheduling office actually did Nebraska some favors this year with several Friday and Saturday tips that were few and far between in previous years.
It would seem like, and Omaha is actually part of this Grand or this Cayman Islands Classic. They're on the other side of the bracket, and they'll host the Southerns of the world and the IUPUIs and the Loyola Marylands in Omaha next week. Well, the Washington States and Nebraska, they get to go to actually the Grand Cayman Islands. This tournament, though, if you look at when you get there, beginning on Monday against Washington State, then you play either George Mason or Old Dominion. This little four-game stretch here before you go to Atlanta to play Georgia Tech seems to set up really well for Nebraska to put some wins under their belt, or at least some success and some confidence building.
Yeah, you would think they would have had a pretty good shot to win this thing, just given the field of the tournament. I mean, just based off last season's RPI, New Mexico State was the best team in the field. And so, you know, that, I mean, that seems like a relatively attainable path to winning finally one of these neutral site non-conference tournaments that can, like you said, give you an opportunity to stockpile some wins, but also get you some good momentum into that early start of the Big Ten schedule. Because as soon as they get home from the Cayman Islands, you're on the road again off to Atlanta on December 4th for a road game at Georgia Tech. And then a couple days later, you're heading up to Omaha for Hoiberg's first taste of the Creighton rivalry. And then you go to Indiana for your very first Big Ten game. And then Purdue comes to town a few days after that. So being able to establish not only some wins, but some momentum and get some positivity rolling on your side again is so important over these next few games. Obviously, it starts Friday with Southern, who might be the worst opponent on Nebraska's schedule, which is saying something. But then to be able to string together three, maybe four wins in a row, that could do you a lot of good going into that pretty brutal December stretch right out of the gate. So, it's not ideal because, they're playing Friday night, traveling down to the Cayman Islands on Saturday, practicing one day on Sunday, and then playing on Monday night. Then you don't even know who you're playing on Tuesday or, of course, on Wednesday. So the prep is going to be hard. There's going to be some fatigue factor. But the good news is, this team got a little bit of that out in Italy, a couple months ago, yeah, where they played consecutive days and got a little taste of what these tournament formats are all about. So for a lot of those guys, it won't be anything new, but still, this is an opportunity that, regardless of how tired you are or whatever it may be, you have to take advantage of it, considering what's coming up as soon as you get home.
How was the general vibe today with defensive guys after practice?
Pretty good, all things considered. I thought that overall they felt that they did a good job against a very physical Wisconsin offense. And obviously, Wisconsin did what Wisconsin does with its rushing yards, and Jonathan Taylor was Jonathan Taylor. But, you look at the kick return that was given up and then the touchdown that Wisconsin scored on a short field after a turnover. You take out those two things, all of a sudden Nebraska's defense, at least as scoreboard's concerned, more than did its job. So they feel good about that aspect of it. They feel good about some young guys that stepped up. Like a Ty Robinson got a lot of praise for the way that he filled in with Carlos Davis and Darian Daniels out. So, I think there's some silver linings, but they also took full notice of the level of missed tackles, especially in the secondary in that game, that were maybe as bad as we've seen all season. I think that, according to Pro Football Focus, they had like 17 or 18 missed tackles as a team, which is a pretty extraordinary number, especially against a team that you cannot afford missed tackles like Wisconsin. So, that and the third down success Wisconsin had. So, they tried to focus on the positives, but still, they understand that this was another disappointing performance in a lot of ways in a game that, had a few more bounces gone their way. They maybe had a chance to be there at the end of it.
Hey, what's your feelings or take, I guess, on the Carlos Davis situation from last week to Tony Tuioti saying today that he's back practicing and should be ready to return? What happened?
I don't know, because he practiced all week. We saw him walk off the field and pads. Didn't look like he was hurt at all. And then you pair that with Scott Frost's comments that Carlos came up to him and said that he couldn't play. I don't know. It was a weird situation where you don't see that happen a lot, especially with a senior who's a pretty vital part of that whole defense. I'm sure there's more to the story. I don't know if we'll ever know the facts around it, but it was certainly a surprise and put Nebraska in a real bind because, they needed all hands on deck in that front seven, and to be without not only one but two of your three defensive line starters, I mean, that's tough to overcome. So, you know, again, it even speaks more to the effort that they had in that game, you know, against that level of offense. But still, you got to wonder what the real reasoning was for Carlos Davis being out, if he really was that hurt or if there's something else to it.
What is, and we'll get you out of here on this, Robin, what is your general feeling of how Saturday goes at Maryland? What coming off Wisconsin where there were encouraging signs but not a victory, how do you think Saturday unfolds on the road in a place where these guys haven't been to?
Well, if they play anywhere remotely to the level they did on Saturday, they should win fairly comfortably and by probably a couple scores. But, you know, this team has not shown any semblance of consistency all season long. They've lost 9 of their last 10 road games. And so, you know, history suggests that this game won't go the way that, you know, people might expect it to. Obviously, the Vegas line indicates that Nebraska is expected to win this game, but the question is, how will this team respond when their back is now firmly pressed against the wall and their postseason fate, you know, basically depends on the outcome of this game. There's a lot of pressure here to save, you know, your last chance to go to a bowl game and all the positives that come with that. Can they go get the job done in a game they're expected to win? You know, like I said, they showed a lot of positive signs on both sides of the ball against a much more difficult opponent in Wisconsin, and Maryland is going through a multitude of issues of their own and are probably in a much worse state as a program than Nebraska even is. But, you know, Nebraska has yet to prove it, that they can go, you know, do what they're supposed to do when it's expected of them. And so I would assume they would fare well and probably win this game, but I say that with very little confidence at that point until they actually prove it, that they're capable of doing it.
And I think a lot of us have said the same thing on a few other games this season. Robin, as always, I appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, Gary. See you later. Hey, tell Jordy hi for me.
You know what? I will. He's they're very disappointed he's not healthy because he was going to probably be in their starting lineup. But I think they're a little concerned about him moving forward for the next month or so.
Yeah, too bad. Well, if you see him, tell him I said what's up.
I will do that. That's Robin Washington from it's Robin Washington from Husker Online. If you don't catch the reference, Jordy Schumanga, who started his career at Nebraska, is now here at Dayton, but he's been sidelined by a knee injury since October. All right, Tom Chattel is coming up here in a little bit before we get out of here at 2 and turn over to Unsportsmanlike Conduct. We are on the road in Dayton, Ohio. It's the Gary Sharp Show. Matt Stein back in the 1620 The Zone studios here on The Zone.